Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Anthony and Joe.
Hello, dear friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. It's a good one with an Oklahoma flair.
Woohoo!
More about that? Yeah. I figured that was coming. But more about that in just a second. I'm hanging out with my good friend and Oklahoman, fellow pastor Joe Brannon. Joe, the official start of summer is just around the corner. Come on, sunshine.
Yes.
And warm temperatures. Yes. So what plans and events does your church, GC Surrey Hills, have on the summer docket?
Well, it's all dependent on COVID, of course. Yeah. But, you know, one of the things that we're discussing is what is our neighborhood camp going to look like? We typically do Camp Surrey in the summertime, and it, depending on what COVID does and how safe it is, we're trying to figure out what is that going to look like. And honestly, Anthony, what I'm really hoping for is to be able to get together for picnics, activities, and try to bring the church together in person again.
Yeah, this morning I sat down with a dear friend of mine and a member of the church, socially distanced, but it was just such a beautiful thing to be able to share relationship with people. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all hurting to some degree about this, you know, when we can't be with the people that we love. So I'm with you. I'm just looking forward to some normalcy, returning to our routine with the churches and just loving life with our friends, you know, mm-hmm. that we worship God with. Well, in this episode, Joe, I'm going to interview your good friends, Mike and Julie Rasmussen. And as we had this conversation, it was clear to me they're both very passionate, as you know, about connect groups mm-hmm. and how they can be a wonderful way to forge loving and strong relationships in the church. From your perspective, what is it about the smaller relational spaces that help create a healthy church environment?
Anthony, just like what you were talking about with COVID and kind of what we're going through and how we're all suffering to a degree, people want to be seen and known. And that happens within relationships, like deep, trusting relationships that can't just happen on Sunday mornings. If my wife and I only got together once a week for at most 4 hours, our relationship, it would become non-existent. So think about that in our churches. And hey, when I read scripture, I only saw Jesus gathering big groups of people maybe a couple of times, but we read how he was in a constant small group with his disciples.
Yeah, right on. I mean, we all love the Sunday worship gathering. I mean, it's so great to be able to sing songs of praise and to pray together, but there is something about just coming together during the week, sharing life. What are your joys? What are your sorrows? Where are you succeeding? Where are you struggling? Just having those kinds of real life-on-life conversations, man. That's doing church as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. We should take up an offering every time we come together like that. But anyway, that's another topic. But brother, thanks for your insights today. It was such a joy to interview these fellow Oklahomans, Mike and Julie Rasmussen. Let's listen to what they had to say about the relational gift of Connect Groups. Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring best ministry practices in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Anthony Mullins, and it's my joy and privilege to welcome today's guests, Mike and Julie Rasmussen. The Rasmussens have been married for 36 years, and they've had the joy of sharing ministry together all 36 of those years. They have two sons, Kurt and Grant. And here's what I know about them. They not only love each other, but they love small groups, or what we call connect groups in GCI. So Julie and Mike, thank you for joining the pod. Connect groups are the focus of our attention for this episode and how these smaller relational gatherings practically fit into the overall GCI vision of healthy church. So let's get started. Mike, I'm going to ask you first, why are connect groups vital to the Faith Avenue and to the overall healthy church vision in GCI?
Well, thank you, Anthony, for having us. We're excited to talk about connect groups, a small group ministry. It's one of our passions. It's one of the things we feel that a healthy church must be a part of to be able to truly connect with their members. The Faith Avenue is the wing of the church that is really dedicated to discipleship. It's about bringing people together, bringing them deeper into relationship with one another, but also into deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's a vital part of the church. You can't just have a church service and talk with a few people during the service and then go back home. There's got to be some kind of connection throughout the week where people are hanging out together, they're eating together, they're growing together, they're learning together. That's what a healthy church looks like, not just a Sunday service, but a all throughout the week connection and engagement with the members and with the leaders. So the Faith Avenue is the one that makes sure that that happens. The Faith Avenue champion is responsible for bringing those connect groups together, training and empowering the facilitators and the hosts, which we can talk about. But their job is to make sure that that happens, that the people have what they need, that these things have, people have the curriculum that they need, and that these groups can continue to thrive and be healthy.
Yeah, and I know as you say that, Mike, and that's a good description, that this isn't something that you're theoretically talking about that you've read from a book, that this is something that you both really do have a passion for. So, Julie, let me ask you this. Let's bring it down on a personal level. Why do you love Connect Group Ministry? What makes it something that's a passion for you in particular?
I love Connect Groups because I love making connections with others. I feel like it's the best way to get to know others in the church. It's also a great way to be able to invite someone who doesn't attend church with you yet, and to give them an opportunity to get to know other members in the church. It's a comfortable setting. It's a way to sit down and either in a home or at a restaurant, a coffee shop, you can sit down and comfortably be able to spend time together.
Yeah, the thing that stood out to me, Julie, that you said there, and I love this hopeful approach, it's a great space for people who may not attend church yet. So it's like it's this front door, this entry point where people can experience God's love for them through other people. It's a beautiful way to explain it. How about you, Mike? What let's make it personal for you. Why are you so passionate about it?
Well, I've got to be honest. I didn't start off being really passionate about it. We did Connect Groups years ago, and it was a lot of work. It was hard to get the members to get involved in it. I think we learned some things, but I really didn't become so passionate about it until my wife became passionate about it. She really got me involved in doing small groups, and we did one last summer that with some leaders in the church, and it was very enjoyable. We had the curriculum to make it easier. We had a rhythm. We had the different things that are needed to make it comfortable, and it was wonderful. And out of that grew another Connect group. So I see the fruit in it. We're about to start another one. We're in discussion about starting another one. I too love the idea that you can sit down and get to know 6 to 12 people or so in an intimate setting, in an intimate way that you would never be able to do at church. At church, you're going to spend time afterwards talking to a couple of people, and it stays relatively shallow. Even if it goes deep, it's not going to be nearly as deep as a Connect group. So you bond in a way that not only makes a difference now, but it builds relationships for the future and connects people in a deeper, more profound way. That's why I'm passionate about it. I think right now, especially during COVID, Connect groups are really important because people aren't able, in a lot of cases, able to come together at church because of the virus. And so if they're not connecting there, what connection are they really getting? So I think Connect groups are vital now, but I think they're also very important once we open back up again as well.
So for our listening audience, they may be hearing you say that and go, okay, it's vital. I like the idea. I love the way that Julie described it, but I wouldn't even know where to start. What does it look like? Because I've heard of all these different types of Connect groups out there. So, Julie, let me ask you this. What does a typical small group, Connect group meeting look like in your neck of the woods?
Well, ideally, I see it happening in either a home or it can happen in a restaurant if that is more comfortable for those people who are coming together, or a coffee shop. There should be a starting and an ending time so that people are not surprised by the amount of time that they will be there, so they know what to expect. So if you would let them know ahead of time that the meeting will start at this time and end it at this time. It's nice to have food or a snack of some kind, or at least a coffee, so that they can feel relaxed and be in a more comfortable setting. Also, I think it's important to know when the small group will begin, as far as the month and when it will end, that there is an ending time. So, and you can reassess if you wanted to continue or take a break, but then the members that would attend would have that expectation.
Yeah, that's good. I've heard the old axiom, you'd want people leaving wanting more than having more than they want, right? So having that end time that people know, hey, this is great, but now we get to go home, is probably pretty important. So that's a good nugget to bring out there. How about you, Mike? Anything you want to add to what the typical setting looks like?
Well, I would say we have to be very careful about the word typical, because I think when it comes to Connect groups, they can be all over the place, as far as they can range from a group that's getting together for the first time, new members, or even unchurched people who come together, and maybe they're not ready to go deep in the theology of the church or of the Bible, but they're craving relationships. And so you need to meet them where they are, to spend time with them, whether it's getting together for a book club, a wine club, something where you can come together and just begin to build the relationships. So that's one end of the spectrum. And then you can go to the other end of the spectrum, where you have these deep Bible studies, where it may be members who are new, but maybe they've been churched, or maybe it's members in your church already who want to go deeper. Because on Sunday, the pastor is not really able to do that if he's trying to reach a broad base, especially if he's trying to reach new people coming in from the neighborhood. So it runs the gamut. So typical, yes, the things that Julie mentioned, those are important for all of those. There's got to be a start time and end time. There needs to be an established curriculum of some sort, whether that's just fellowship or whether that's actually a written curriculum. And it does need to follow a season. People don't want to sign up for something that's from now on, or sign up for something that's a year long. So if you started it maybe in after the new year, and you went until May, when school's starting to get out and then summer begins to come, and then you start back up after school starts again and give families a chance to be able to have the summer off to go vacation or be together. And that doesn't mean that as a Connect group that you can't meet during that time. You can come together and go out on an outing, go camping, go on an activity, an event, do something to serve the neighborhood or your community together as a group. But it's best not to have, we found it's best not to have the actual Connect group going year round. And also it gives people a chance to change groups if they'd like to. Maybe their circumstances have changed, or maybe they want to get to know other people in another group. And so if you all kind of start and end at the same season, it gives them a easy exit and entry point to get to know somebody else in another group.
And I like what you said about we have to be careful with the word typical. You're right on about that, because there's many flavors of Connect groups out there. And it seems to me it would be really important to really know your people that you're sharing this small group with, that you survey their desires and what makes them feel comfortable. I think that would play an important role too. So let's think about, again, your context, Surrey Hills. I'm curious how the Connect groups there in your church support the vibrancy, the health of the church, and the movement toward the new ministry training center that's being built there. Mike, would you speak to it?
Well, as you know, we've got a new pastor, Joe Brannon, who's come in this last year, and he's been very intentional and very passionate about Connect groups. We have ones for our kids in the church. We have them for our young children in the church. We have a women's one. We have starting up another men's one. We have some that are reaching out into the neighborhood. We have some that are key leaders within the congregation. It's tough right now, again, with the COVID, being able to get people together is challenging. But we've been able to do most of those over Zoom, and they have stayed pretty well attended, and people have found value in them and connection in them and relationship building. So, again, this is a tough time, but you can't give it up when things get tough. That's when you really need to be intentional about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Julie, let me ask you the same question. From your vantage point, as you look at the spectrum of your church and how Connect Groups have really supported the effort and the vision there, what have you seen? What's connected with you?
Well, we did a breakfast Connect Group. This was before COVID, but we got together and had a meal at the Surrey Hills Country Club. And it was putting us in a place where we were actually able to meet in the community. And to us, that was important and fun for us to be able to do that. We would have breakfast, and then we would actually follow the sermon. We would have a scripture that was talked about in the sermon that we had heard the weekend before. And we would discuss that and how it applies to our life. And sometimes even going to the RCL and bringing in more scriptures that would fit along with the message that we had heard. So we were able to learn more about what we heard previously in the message and how that affected each of us personally. And I felt like it was a great way for us to get to know each other better and also able to hear what God was telling us and from different voices within the group, what God was telling us that weekend.
Oh, that's good. It's, you know, it seems to me, Julie, that it helps connect the dots between what happens on Sunday, because everything can't happen in the Sunday gathering, to what's happening during the week. And that's the church being the church during the week. You can continue to talk about the continuity of the message that people heard on Sunday. That's really important, I think, is that the church is being the church on Tuesday evening, just as they are on Sunday morning as they gather. Let me ask you this question, and either one of you can answer. How can Connect Groups be an important space for somebody that's new? You know, they're kicking the tire on the church and they're not sure. How can Connect Groups be an important space for them to feel comfortable with the congregation?
Well, I think there's a lot of hurdles for new people coming in. You know, there's lots of things, the unknownness of it, coming in if they don't know anybody in the congregation. Will they like it? How will people treat them? It's really a challenge, and you really want to try to soften that entry point as much as you possibly can to eliminate some of those obstacles. I think Connect Groups are a wonderful way to do that, whether you start those ahead of time with people before they come to church, or if you start it as soon as they do come to church and feel comfortable signing up for one. I think it really helps them to figure out if this is the place for them, and will they be loved? Will they be taken, you know, well care of? I think that it's essential not only for the person who hasn't even come to your church, but for the new member, the members, and then the long time members. All of them can benefit from the Connect Groups. Anything you want to add, Julie?
You did that very well.
Yeah, it was answered well. I've in my own experience with Connect Group ministry and new members, first of all, you've got to be intentional. You've got to leave space for them in the Connect Groups and invite them. You know, there's such power in the invitation, especially when someone's trying to get over the hurdle of, you know, is this for me? I mean, it takes so much courage for somebody new to walk through the church front door anyway. So why not create a relational space where they can feel more and more comfortable with the people that are gathered? And what a great way to experience God's love. So let me ask you this. If you had any advice, and Julia, I'll start with you. If you had any advice to a pastor or a church leader who's listening to this and they're thinking, man, that sounds great. We don't have any Connect groups right now, but we're considering it. What would you say to them as far as reasons to actually launch a Connect group ministry?
I would encourage them that a reason to launch a Connect group is so that people can bond together and have deeper relationships with one another. I think that's the even though there's so much that we learn in a Connect group by maybe as you go through a book or a curriculum, there's a lot that may be learned there. But I think that the most important part of that is the relationships that are building within that group.
Yeah. What say you, Mike?
I would advise a pastor to do it. Absolutely. But I would also say to do it, to be very intentional about how you do it, to be sure that you get the right people to be your facilitators of the Connect groups, and also your hosts, the people who will be opening up their homes to the Connect groups. I would say give them proper training so that the worry and the stress is less. And I would also say to a pastor, please be able to provide them with curriculum. That doesn't mean that they have to follow that curriculum. They may have their own idea and can run that by you as a pastor. You don't want to put people into a box. But many times people don't know what to do unless you help them with a step-by-step curriculum of here's what you could do, or here's another way to do it, and several options available to them. But also I would say to them, whenever you start a group, I would say this to the facilitators and to the hosts, whenever you start a group, always have an assistant facilitator, an assistant host that you are bringing under your wing and you're mentoring and pouring into and sharing the greater details of behind the scenes of what's going on in this Connect group. Because this is something you want to multiply on. If this is something that's good, and we believe it is, then why would we want to share it? Why would we want to help facilitate other people having the opportunity to be able to lead their own Connect group or host their own Connect group? So I would say if you go into this, go into it with a mindset at least open to the fact that the Holy Spirit may be bringing somebody alongside for you to mentor. We're all supposed to be sharing ministry and helping others to come further along in ministry. So maybe there's someone who's just a little further behind, who's curious, who may be wanting to do it, but they're a little bit afraid. And now you can spend some time intentionally pouring into their life, building relationship with them, as you're also teaching them how to be able to do a Connect group.
Yeah, so what I hear you say, Mike, is that Connect groups can be an excellent tool for developing new leaders. So as we talk about teams in the Faith Avenue and building that out, facilitators or assistant facilitators and launching new groups is just another opportunity to expand out the priesthood of all believers, the ministry of all believers, those being equipped in the saints. So I love what you're saying about that. So let me flip the question on its head and turn it to this side of things. What if you're speaking to a pastor or ministry leader who says, listen, I hear what you're saying, but we've been there, done that, got the t-shirt when it comes to Connect group ministry. We did it and it fizzled out, or it didn't work, or it just died. What would you say to them, Mike?
I would say, well, to be honest with you, this is me. So I'm speaking to myself. We did small groups. We didn't call them Connect groups. Many, many years ago, we did small groups, and we had probably, six to seven, maybe more than that, small groups going at one time that probably had, 60% of the congregation involved in them. And we had training for the facilitators, we had training for the hosts, and we had training for the associate or the assistant facilitators and assistant hosts. We spent quite a bit of time trying to do that and trying to do it well. And so it ran for three sessions. So it ran for about a year and a half, taking a break off during the summers. But then we ran out of curriculum. And after we ran out of curriculum, it kind of fell apart. That's why I'm really passionate about having curriculum available. Perhaps the group gets together for that long and they're able to sail on their own. They're able to find a book that would help support ministry development, or find something that they really would like to do together. But if they don't, you don't want to just leave them hanging. And unfortunately, I did that. So I would say to the pastor, do it, try it, get it started. But I would also say, make sure you do it correctly.
Mm. Julie, I'm going to ask you the final question. And we've been talking about how Connect groups benefit others. You know, Mike just articulated how kind of the structure of doing it again, trying it again, and the power of that. But my question for you is this: how have you benefited from experiencing Connect Group ministry? You personally, how has it been a blessing to your life?
For me, a Connect Group provides an opportunity for me to get to know other people on a deeper level, which means a lot to me. When we're at church, and I value church and seeing everyone that I love there, but you're only able to connect to a certain number of people that are there. And you're not always able to find out all the things that they are going through, the deeper things that are going on in their lives. And that to me is very important. That's why it means so much to me. It provides that opportunity for me to truly be able to share time with the people that I care so much about.
Well, that's so good. I just find the Sunday morning worship service, as much as I love it, it almost feels like sometimes we're just skipping stones across the top of the water. It's hard to go deep because there's so much going on. And to create those relational spaces where you break bread and you share life and you can get a little more intimate in the conversation in terms of just, hey, I'm rejoicing in this, or I'm struggling with that. That's real relationship. And to me, that's as much, if not more, of church, you know, in that environment than the actual worship service itself, though they absolutely work together. So thank you for that, Julie. And that's why I love Connect Group ministry as well. Listen, you both gave us some great insights. And the thing I take away from it is give it another shot. This is really important to the healthy church movement. And it's an awesome way to not only develop relationships with those who have been around for a long time, because as you'll find, if even when you've been going to church with somebody for 20, 30 years, that if you get into that smaller space, you find out things you never knew about them, you know, in a good way. You feel like a deeper bond there, but especially with new folks that are trying to find their way, Connect Group Ministry is a way to go. So we're not going to let you just walk out of here without any pressure whatsoever. We want to give you a little bit of pressure with the 7 rapid fire questions. And these are really easy, just softball questions, but it's a chance for us to get to know you a little bit better. What I'd like to do is ask you a question and you just give me the answer, a word, a statement, just the first thing that comes to your mind, and we'll trade off each and every one. So Mike, I'll start with you. What was your favorite childhood TV show?
Oh man, so many of them. Mission Impossible.
Ooh, I like it. That's some good music too. Julie, for you, what is your favorite meal?
Easy. Mexican food, chips, salsa, all the things. Tacos.
Yes, you're speaking to my heart. I just want a lot of guacamole on there too. Only thing I would add, but I love some Mexican food. Mike, for you, what is one thing you wish you were good at?
Singing. I love worshiping, but I only can do it by myself. And I do it a lot in the car, but not in public. I just am not gifted at it. I've been told that when I was young, I'm tone deaf, and I've just never been able to do it. So I pray that in the kingdom, God gives me the opportunity to be able to worship where people enjoy listening to it.
Me and you both, not because you need it, but I feel the very same way. That's the one thing I would wish for. Julie, are you a morning or a night person?
I'm not sure. I think I'm a morning person. Not really. I think I get
She has to be for work.
I have to be for work. I probably would prefer to be a night person, but I'm pretty exhausted by 9 o'clock.
Yeah. I know, you know, with your work, working with children, that's got to be exhilarating and exhausting all at the same time. Mike, use one word to describe your computer ability.
One word. inadequate.
There's going to be a lot of people that relate to that for sure. Julie, if you would for me, fill in the blank. When I dance, I look like what?
A chicken?
Not true.
Yeah?
She's actually a good dancer.
I'm not.
We've done some flash mobs for camp and for church, and she is one of the top ones who's learning it and memorizes it. She has to teach it to me. So I don't dance or sing well.
Oh, well, I can't dance either, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, and there's beauty to that. I think about King David dancing, undignified. It's a beautiful thing. So finally, we'll wrap up with this question. Mike or Julie, whoever wants to answer, and maybe both of you do, what comes to mind when you think of your sons?
You're going to let me. Mm-hmm. Strong, dependable, integrity.
Wow. That's a powerful testimony. I'm sure Kurt and Grant will love hearing that. Well, thank you both for being a part of this episode. It's really enjoyable to hear a married couple speaking into the same issue, and you guys did an awesome job. Thank you so much. And Mike, as is our tradition on GC Podcast, we like to end with prayer. So would you be willing to pray over our churches and pastors and ministry leaders in GCI?
Absolutely. Father, Son, and Spirit, we just so thankfully come before you. What a privilege it is to be loved by you as you do with all your children around the world. Whether they're attending church right now or not, Lord, they're still your children and you love them and you will not love them more if they perform a certain way. But what a joy to be able to know that you're a beloved child of God and to be able to know that you invite us into ministry to join you in what you're already doing. This is your ministry. You're the beginning, the end, and everything in between. We don't add to that, but we get to join that. And what a privilege to be able to take you by the hand and walk through life and the ups and downs, the joy, the sadness, the challenges, and to know that you are faithful in our lives, that you will bring us to that end, the time that we will be able to be with you face to face. And so I just ask, Lord, that all of our pastors, especially right now going through COVID, and not being able to meet and having to do digital services, that you would just strengthen them, that you would wrap your arms around them, help them to feel your presence, to feel your love, to feel your approval on who they are and how you are living in their lives. And I also ask that you just be with our members and, Lord, bind them together, help them to feel your love, especially during this time of separation. Help them to have hope in you and that this too shall pass. We will get past this. We will be able to come together again in the right time, when it's safe, and when we can protect our valuable members. We thank you again for your timing. We trust you. We believe that you know what's going on and that you don't cause these things, but Lord, you can take all kinds of things that seem hurtful and seem evil, and you can turn them around to be useful in our lives, in the lives of everyone. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to see the light at the end of the tunnel, which is your Son, Jesus Christ. We just ask this all in your precious name, in your Son's name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Yeah. Wasn't that an insightful conversation, man?
Yeah.
What stood out to you, Brother Joe?
What really stood out to me is how they emphasized providing, especially speaking to the pastors and the Faith Avenue champions, is providing the resources for facilitators. You asked the question, I believe, what do you say to that pastor that says, been there, done that, got the t-shirt? And they said, keep doing it, but provide resources. Matter of fact, when the Connect group that Julie was talking about, she came to me and she said, hey, I'd really like to start this Connect group, me and Mike would, and we want to do it over your sermons. And so I started to write questions to go along with the sermon. Well, Anthony, here's the beauty of team-based pastor-led, just like the previous episode of GC Podcast, is I had somebody in the congregation that is passionate about small groups. She came to me and she said, "Hey, I think that we should start writing questions in like a study guide, because that's what I used to do at my old church to provide a resource for our small groups." And she says, "I would love to do that." So now I've got somebody that listens to the sermon, writes the study group questions, and it's a resource for our facilitators. And I don't have to do anything. I just have to preach. That's all I got to do. It's beautiful.
Wow. Yeah, it is beautiful. And I, you know, it's such a neat thing when your congregants, the people you love that you do ministry with, come to you and say, "Hey, I like doing this. I want to do this." And it serves a good purpose for the church. And that's why as pastors, we always have to keep our eyes open to how the Spirit is moving in the congregation so that we are team-based. That's such a powerful example. And I love what you're doing with the Connect groups in your area, Joe. And you mentioned this, you know, keep trying it, but let's provide resources. So let's talk about that for a second. You know, the GCI home office, they're always trying to provide resources to us mm-hmm. as pastors and Avenue Champions and ministry leaders. And so we want to talk about a brand new, like right off, fresh off the lot. You know,
it
has a sticker price on the window. But the tool is called On Being, and it's a curriculum for Connect groups. So, Joe, where can people find out more information about this new resource?
And this new resource, the ink is still wet, I believe.
That's right.
Because but you can go to equipper.gci.org, and you'll be able to see where you can get the On Being curriculum. It is a 4-part interactive Connect group curriculum designed for biblically-based dynamic discussions around being a disciple. And we will be rolling out a different curriculum quarterly throughout 2021. The 4 curricula are being a Christian neighbor, being the church, being with Jesus, and being with the Bible. I can kind of see why it's called On Being. Each curriculum has a... Here, check this out, Anthony. This was a big deal when I read about this new curriculum. Each curriculum has a facilitator guide and participant workbook. Come on. What, that is such a great resource. And included in this document is an appendix with additional resources for who? Facilitators. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for a resource that's ready-made for you to be able to share it in a small group environment, this is going to do it for you each and every quarter this year. Joe, that is awesome. Rock on, home office staff. Well, friends, we really appreciate you listening to GC Podcast. If you like what you heard, give us a rating wherever you're listening to this podcast. And Joe, thanks for hanging out with me, bud. It really does help get the word out and for others to join the conversation. So until next time, keep living, sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.